Hi, Daphne.
Hello, Mother.
How can we always say hi to each other like we haven't been together for the last hour and a half?
I don't know.
Like, hey, man, nice to meet you. I'm Gail. What's up, yo?
You just sounded like Officer Doofy.
Hey, man, what's up?
That's funny.
It is scream season.
It is Scream season. Although except for that was Scary Movie.
Right, but it's a spoof on Scream.
You're like, oh, that. Yeah, Scary Movie. It's always Halloween in our souls, though.
Always.
Thank you, Katie.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently, Daphne's going to live.
Oh, we're giving my medical update.
The last one was
because
very...
Because we've been gone for so long.
Doomsday, though. I'm dying. If anybody has an advice of how I can live, that'd be great. And then we went to the doctor, and the doctor's like... you're cool. Fucking take care of your shit and get out of bed.
Half of it was you're cool. The other half of it was, but we're going to run all these other tests to make sure you really are cool. If not, you were sick as fuck and it tried to take you out. That was what happened.
So what happened was,
what had happened was, I think I should live. I don't know. We'll find out next week.
Stay tuned.
I know next week if I'm still alive. If I'm back on the podcast. And the answer is yes.
We already are predicting next week. Well, I think we're good with that prediction, actually.
That I'll live? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Well, I guess it depends on how bad you pissed me or your dad off.
Huh.
Thanks. Or your roommate.
Yeah, I have to write my own murder trial. Okay, what's your disturbing fact?
Oh, I'm ready. I just have to get my phone.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding?
No.
I'm sitting there. You make me play the hurry up and wait game, and you're sitting there.
Don't even. You came over and then fucking made yourself lunch. Like, I'm coming to record after I cook myself a 7-course meal and check the podcast.
I made myself tacos.
Okay.
Wasn't a 7-course meal.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
This is why when Daphne said her chapstick was a wiener, I was like, oh, this is appropriate. Because my disturbing fact is not necessarily...
I'm concerned now.
You what? You want certs?
I said I'm concerned now that you're like, because chapsticks are wieners.
No. It's not really chapstick wiener. It's just wiener talk.
Cool.
Wiener talk with Gail and Daphne.
Yay.
So... this is disturbing because it's a historical presidential fact.
Presidential?
Presidential. Did you know Lyndon B. Johnson, right? Have you ever heard of anybody's junk being called a Johnson?
Yes.
That's why, because of Lyndon B. Johnson.
Okay.
You didn't probably, maybe, did you know that?
That it's called a Johnson?
That Lyndon B. Johnson, the president of the United States, is the reason it's called a Johnson.
No, why would I have known that?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm not very patriotic and like, let me learn every fact about every president.
I don't know how patriotic it is that your fucking penis is how it's referred to as Johnson. Okay, I'm going to roll with this. So
roll away.
Roll away. So LBJ, as he's known, Lyndon B. Johnson, had a very large
LBJ.
Penis. LBJ, the 36th president of the United States.
He's still alive, isn't he?
No, he's dead. No, he's dead.
Well, he was the 36th. We're on like the 49th right now.
So Lyndon B. Johnson is not dead.
Or he is dead. Fuck!
The 36th president of the United States who took over right when Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, he was his...
He was his vice president, yeah.
He was VP?
Yes. So he was
if he would have put it in order after Kennedy, I would have known that he wasn't alive at this point.
Okay. Well, he was Kennedy's vice president.
There you go.
And he was a big guy. So he was 6'4" and he had a big personality. He was known to curse like a sailor. He told dirty jokes. And that's why this is all, it's not really disturbing. It's just kind of humorous because of today's climate where you can't say anything or everybody gets offended.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so he cursed like a sailor. He told dirty jokes and he openly talked about and even sharing his bodily functions with anyone close by. He
nicknamed his own Willie Johnson.
No, he didn't actually. He named his penis Jumbo. And Johnson was known to open up his trousers on a regular basis and swing around his dick in front of other people. There are numerous reports of this, so it's not like just one person said this, but they're in like all the way from like...
Wait, a president of the United States accused of sexual harassment?
Well, not back then. Back then it was fine. Like smoking was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was totally cool.
Smoking is not compared to sexual harassment.
No, but I'm just saying it was a time where like it wasn't a thing, you know, like it just wasn't a thing.
I think it was still a thing.
Well, it happened, but it wasn't like.
I think if it's still a thing that people didn't like. Like,
well,
that
yeah,
case
but
that
nobody
you...
said anything about it or did anything
they did.
About it. Okay, nobody did. Can we get back to this? This
You're is... like, it's not a thing. Yeah, it's always actually been a thing. If you don't want to be touched, you shouldn't be touched. Like Virginia Rappe.
Yes.
And that one guy that there was all that shit against him.
Yes. Because
that was like well before this.
He was a raper. So, yeah, he was just a big old junk shower. But he named his penis Jumbo. And reportedly, he named his penis Jumbo while he was in college. And it's said that he had the biggest penis of all presidents, and I don't know how they measure that, but according to...
Oh, I'm sure they do.
According to this, I guess Bill Clinton had a smaller than average penis, just in case anybody's wondering.
Monica Lewinsky, please confirm.
Well, yes. So on one occasion on Air Force One, he had just come off of a press conference and there were like reporters on Air Force One, and he gets on the plane and he gets totally fucking naked and he has a towel in his hand and he's just talking to the press and stuff and swinging around this towel for emphasis while he's also swinging his dick around. So there was that.
Sounds really like a stand-up guy.
Right? And he
swinging my dick named around.
He named his penis
Jumbo
while he was in college. And it was reported that one time he came out of the shower and he said, I gotta take old Jumbo out here and give him some exercise. I wonder who I'll fuck tonight.
What a president.
Right? Such boastfulness didn't disappear after college. He was known to be hostile and he used his penis like as a... like
hostile takeover?
As a hostile takeover. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
so
God.
He said that he... For much of his life, he had an affair. He was married, but he had an affair with one of the White House's, one of his campaign's financial supporters.
Bill
with
Clinton
his wife.
Before he Bill Clinton.
Yeah. So he had
or before Bill
affair,
Clinton
an affair with one of his biggest donors, and he was known to be hostile in regards of JFK's sexual reputation. One famous quote on the matter was told.
Well, if we could all do Marilyn Monroe, we would.
Clearly. Duh. Anyway, so one famous quote on the matter was when he told some White House aides, I've had more women on accident than Kennedy had on purpose.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then,
you know, I can't lie to you. Discussing my favorite president's sexual history and penis size is making me really uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't know LBJ was your fave prez.
He is.
Okay, my bad. And one time he peed on a Secret Service agent, which was a super dick move, especially somebody's fucking protecting your life.
There Learning are like about several, all this, he's definitely my favorite president.
There are like several stories of him like just randomly pissing like other people we know when he didn't like go to the bathroom. He just went out and like peed like in parking lots and
stuff
like that.
So that is going to the bathroom. He just peed, not...
Yeah, not in a restroom. And it said
not into a toilet. Yeah.
When female reporters and other staffers were in close proximity. Another time while Johnson was urinating next to a Secret Service agent, a breeze blew, spraying piss on the agent's leg. When the agent informed him what was happening, LBJ didn't redirect his stream. Instead, he smiled and said, I know I am. That's my prerogative. It's like, dude.
What a freak.
What an asshole. And then this is where I said that he was like really a dick swinger. He claimed it was the reason for the Vietnam War.
Oh, my God.
On one occasion, LBJ's lewd behavior intersected with his abysmal war record. According to biographer Robert Dalek, Johnson found it difficult to sustain his rationality in dealing with war critics. During a private conversation with some reporters who pressed him to explain why we were in Vietnam, Johnson lost his patience, and according to Arthur Goldberg, LBJ unzipped his fly, drew out his substantial organ, and declared, "This is why."
Oh, my gosh.
So basically, I have a bigger dick than anybody else, and so I can go to war.
Jeez.
And he had special plumbing installed in the White House to keep Jumbo clean. He had a shower
head. This is Jumbo's bidet.
Yeah. He had a shower head installed at crotch level so that he could specifically just, you know, keep his junk.
I wonder if it's still there to this day.
Shined. And he had his pants Spit shine. Did you like that? He had his pants specially tailored to accommodate it. And finally, there's a recorded conversation between Johnson and a tailor. While the rest of these stories were relayed by reliable sources, this is the only one jumbo related tale that we have concrete evidence of, thanks to the recording system LBJ installed in the White House. And that same one would later get Nixon in a lot of trouble, that recording system that he had installed. Speaking to a man named Joe Hager, LBJ asked for some adjustments to his pants, explaining that future pairs of pants should have longer pockets and a little more give in the waistband. Additionally, he says the crotch down where your nuts hang, that is always too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out here and there because they cut me. It's like riding a wire fence. Retorting to the point, he also says, see, if you can't leave me an inch from where my zipper ends back to my bunghole.
Yuck.
Yeah. He's quite the guy. The conversation, which also contains a few mid-sentence belches, kind of says it all, perfectly capturing LBJ's crotch-centric crudeness, because even Jumbo had nothing on how big a dick he was personally.
That is funny.
Yeah, this is an article from Mel Magazine. So I just thought that was funny. I knew that Johnson was because of LBJ, and I knew that he was, I don't know. I guess I didn't know that he was such a dick about it, a dick about his dick.
A dick about his dick.
And a dick in general. But I knew that there were like reports of him being like naked in press conferences and like him just pulling out his dick and basically your dick is smaller than mine, so shut the fuck up conversations.
I'm trying to look up pictures of him just in suits. They're just in suits.
trying to look up porn.
But I'm not seeing, he's all wearing like suits. So his jacket is hanging pretty low. So I can't tell. I can't even see an outline. I'm like looking for
Daphne. I can't even see an outline of President Johnson's Johnson.
Can't even see an outline of Jumbo.
Nope. Anyway, so yeah, that's that.
Maybe this picture.
He also, Daphne, so zooming in. And also, I guess he used to have White House aides go skinny dipping with him so that he could mock them for their dick size being small.
Wow.
Right?
Sounds like a real stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Real stand-up lad.
Yes. Lad.
That's what I called him.
All righty then. Well, that's it. That's my disturbing fact, which isn't maybe so disturbing as it is just disgusting and
random.
Yeah. But it's just disturbing that that's a presidential fact, I think. Yeah,
well, there's a lot more disturbing presidential facts out there, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. But maybe we'll go down the list.
Maybe.
What you got for me, Daph?
Have you ever heard of the Greenbrier ghost?
Like on Scooby-Doo, maybe.
Nope, not from Scooby-Doo.
Okay, then no.
Oh, that's good. Okay, Alva Zona Heaster Shoe.
What? Bless you.
She was born in 1876 in Meadow Bluff, West Virginia, which is in Greenbrier County, I believe. Or she like later lived in Greenbrier County. Anyway, most sources refer to her as Zona. So we're going to call her Zona.
Okay.
She had five siblings and her parents were Jacob Hedges Heaster and Mary Jane Robinson Heaster. She's often portrayed as being like a good girl, innocent, very pure. But one source reported that in November of 1895, at the age of 22, she had a child out of wedlock, which is, you know, in those times, a big fat no-no.
Yeah.
She went to this blacksmith shop in town with her family the following October, where she met and became infatuated with a very handsome blacksmith named Ismus Shoe. She returned soon after to go visit him again and be like, hey, I'm interested in you. His nickname was Trout. He was known in Greenbrier County as Trout.
So I like that better than his name.
Yeah, so we're going to call him Trout.
I like it. Who can we call Trout?
I don't know. Okay, I don't know if we want to call anyone Trout, though.
We'll think on that.
Trout was born in 1861 or 1862. Mind you, this is in the 1800s, so information is limited of what's available.
Dude, don't I know it.
In Augusta County in Virginia, and grew up in Droop Mountain, West Virginia. He was at least 11 years older than Zona, and his first name was later changed to Edward instead of Yzmus, but he was known as Trout. So again, we're going to rock and roll with calling him Trout since everybody called him Trout.
And I don't know why you bothered to change your name if nobody calls you by your given name or your changed name anyway. Yeah. But I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you what was going through his head.
Okay.
A lot of this, I couldn't tell you what was going through his head.
He's just bored.
I guess so. I'll change my name. He's blacksmithing one day. He's like, yeah, this isn't really working for me. Yzmus, yeah, not really fitting. Which actually, as a blacksmith, Yzmus, that's a sick name.
I don't disagree.
Like, yeah, my blacksmith, Yzmus. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool guy.
Yeah.
The two had a super whirlwind of a romance and were married by October 20th.
When did they meet? Like October 1st?
Yeah, like the beginning of October sometime.
That is quite the whirlwind romance.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were married on October 20th of 1896. And her mom was like, please don't marry him. But she was like, Mom, I'm marrying him. So she married him. She wasn't his first wife. He'd been married twice before.
Ooh.
In 1885, he married Ellen Cutlip. And in 1887, they had a daughter, Gerda Lucretia Shue. Gerda. In 1888, they were separated. In 1889, they got divorced. So Gerda, she was raised by her maternal grandparents. And then in 1894, he married Lucy Tritt. And then less than a year later, she was dead.
Ooh.
So he was widowed.
Under suspicious and things, or do we know?
No. There's no records of how she died.
Okay.
But there are rumors.
Okay.
That either she fell on ice while she was pregnant.
Ooh.
That she was hit on the head by a brick that was accidentally dropped by Trout.
Oh, oops.
Or that she was deliberately poisoned by him.
Hmm.
Sorry, I'm laughing because it's like, oh, I accidentally dropped a brick on your head.
No, I know. Oops. That's what I'm saying. Like, oops.
So his
life. And that didn't seem to quite get it. So I'm accidentally poisoning you.
Right. You didn't quite seem to get it. So I was trying to kill you off. So now I'm going to poison you.
Right.
Really make sure you go away this time.
Dang.
So Trout's life was obviously a little crazy. Between his first two marriages, he was arrested for stealing a horse and spent 2 years in prison.
Oh.
After his second wife died, that's when he moved to Greenbrier County to start a new life, which is when people started calling him Trout, I think. So maybe it was an alias thing.
I was going to say, so he basically just uprooted himself and started over and created...
Yeah, but he was from West Virginia, which at the time, I don't really know how populated it was or how much of a lucrative career blacksmithing was, you know?
I think it was pretty happening.
Okay.
Because everybody was going by horses, and so you need a blacksmith.
Yeah.
But any hoodles.
So he learned the trade from his dad, so he got the job in Greenbrier County when he moved there and, you know, changed his name to Trout.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, everyone in his life was like, oh, good. It's good he's marrying Zona. She's a good girl.
Then, except Zona's family.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you've known him for like a week and a half. Could you please just wait?
Right. Let's maybe not marry him.
Yeah.
After a week of knowing him. So then on January 23rd, 1897, just 3 months after their wedding, like almost to the day, her body was found at the foot of the staircase in their home.
My jaw dropped.
Yeah, you couldn't see it. I could, but... An 11-year-old boy who was their neighbor named Andy Jones. He was hired by them to do chores and odd jobs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Andy found her body, and he went screaming to his mom.
That's fucking dramatic.
And so she went to the blacksmith shop. I think that's the last time I'm going to have to say that, hopefully. Because I can't. She went to his work and was like, oh, my God. Your wife, something's happened. There's been an accident. He was obviously like in distress. And I can't imagine the sounds that this is going to make while I'm adding. I'm like, yeah, he's distressed. He ran home. He gathered his dead wife in his arms.
Aw, that sounds sad, although it seems suspicious.
He directed the local doctor and coroner, Dr. George W. Knapp, to be called. At this time, Trout held Zona. He held her head in his arms. Like, she was laying on the bed. I think he put her down on the bed, mm-hmm. was what I read. And then he's, like, holding her head up. Mm-hmm. After a very, very, very brief examination by the doctor, because Trout was very distressed, and so, like, Dr. Knapp didn't, like, really get to do a great job of examining her body. Mm-hmm. Her death was ruled that she died of an everlasting faint, which is a heart attack in those times.
Okay. An everlasting faint.
I know. It's like, how dramatic. I know. She died of an everlasting faint. I also saw a source say that she died of childbirth, but
there's no child.
Yeah, if she was pregnant, she didn't tell anyone.
Well, and who would she have been pregnant by if she only met him in October, married him in October, and this is January?
By him? Don't you remember that there was a report of her also having a kid out of wedlock?
I know, but
doesn't mean she's not fucking him.
You said they just met in October.
What?
You said they met in October and married in October.
Correct.
Right. October, November, December, January, 4 months.
So you can't be pregnant in 4 months?
Yeah, but you can't have childbirth.
Right. Yes. Maybe he meant pregnancy. I don't know.
Okay. Just your everlasting faint thing. I totally can't remember.
So this isn't great.
But in that last case and that guy that the lady... the lady that haunted the grave, the lady of the Columbines.
Yes.
They said that guy died of like some kind of like a heart lapse something. It was like something like an elect. I don't know. I can't remember. Never mind. But it was something also very dramatic along those lines, like a gasping heart or something.
So her.
You're all
moving
shut
on.
Shut the fuck up.
Basically.
Too much laughing. We got criticized for that.
I know. That's why I'm like, Mom, stop laughing. Because then you're just going to make me laugh. Looking at you makes me laugh.
Well, that's nice of you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay. Her body was prepared for burial, for her funeral, by Trout assisting, helping her body, getting, you know, ready to be buried, placed her in the casket, always handling her head. He placed a folded sheet on one side of her head and an article of clothing on the other side of her head, which he said would make her rest easier, like she was all tucked in. In addition to those items, he then put a large scarf around her neck because he said it was her favorite and she would want to rest with it. She was taken to the home of her mother, Mary Jane, on nearby Big Sewell Mountain. When the casket was opened by Trout, or when the casket was opened, Trout was always by it. Mm-hmm. He was always by the casket, and he was always at the head of the casket, like never letting anybody get too close of a look, right? Mm-hmm. The next day, her body was buried at the little cemetery on top of the hill. Nothing more was thought of the death other than, you know...
That sucks.
That it was really common that people suddenly died back then.
Well, yeah.
So... I mean, it still is today, I guess, but more so then.
Yeah.
More so without explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zona's mother, Mary Jane, she never approved of the marriage, like I said. Mm-hmm. And after her body was found, obviously she's convinced like Trout did it. He killed my daughter. Like, so she began to pray that Zona would come and tell her the truth.
Oh.
Yeah. So then strange things started to happen. Like she washed the sheet that was in the coffin with Zona. And it was a white sheet, mind you.
What do you mean she washed it?
So like it was came out of the casket and she washed it. I don't know.
Before Zona was buried.
No, I don't know. They must have not buried her with it. They must have just had her at the open casket with it.
Okay.
Anyway, so she washed the sheet and it was a white sheet. And then the water ran red while she was washing the sheet. And then it had a pink color to the sheet, obviously, that wouldn't come out. Like, she kept trying to get it out, and it wouldn't come out.
Creepy.
And then after about a month, she began having visions. 4 nights in a row, she said that Zona's ghost came to her and told her about Trout's abuse and cruelty towards her. And that one day, he'd basically just snapped. And that they had argued on the day of her death. And she said that Trout attacked her and broke her neck. And as her ghost was leaving, apparently she turned her head at a 180 degrees to like show, yeah, this is what happened to my neck. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Mom's freaked out, but Mom's like, we need justice here. So then she went to the prosecutor, to the local prosecutor in the town. Mm-hmm. And his name is John Alfred Preston. He obviously is like, I'm not reopening the case. that's dumb as shit.
You're coming to me telling me a ghost told you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's dumb as shit.
Although she was persistent enough that he began asking questions around town.
To see what kind of like character he was?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And Dr. Knapp admitted that the exam that he performed was totally cut short and was incomplete. But he remembered seeing bruising on her neck. And
okay. Don't check that out.
Right. The neighbors told John about Trout's strange behavior at her funeral, that he never left the side of the coffin, wouldn't let anyone look too closely at her body, that he wedged her head in between items, you know, like trying to keep her upright, mm-hmm. but that people said that they had seen her neck flopping loosely before she was placed in the casket.
Ooh.
So then her body was exhumed for a proper autopsy. On March 9th, 1897, they found that her neck had been broken. In fact, it had been dislocated between the first and the second vertebrae, and her windpipe was crushed, and her neck was bruised as if she had been strangled.
Hmm.
Following the autopsy, he was arrested for the murder of his wife, Zona.
Good.
Yeah. So the trial was sometime in June of 1897. John Preston, the attorney, or I'm sorry, yes, the prosecuting attorney,
mm-hmm.
was prosecuting Trout for the murder. He knew that Mary Jane's ghost story was not going to be admissible in court, but he's like, I'm not bringing it up. But Trout Shoe's attorney, William Rucker, did bring it up when he cross-examined Mary Jane.
Okay.
The intention was obviously to make her look stupid and make her look dumb, discredit the testimony.
Right. But I feel like back in those days, people more believed that. I don't know if it's believed it or like, I don't know. Like now you'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, you and I wouldn't. We'd be like, oh, for sure that happened.
Right.
Back then, I feel like with, you know, all of the superstition that nobody could really prove or disprove. But anyway, what the fuck do I know? I'll shut up.
No, you're fine. I don't know what to say to that. I don't know if people were any more superstitious or not than they are today about those kinds of things, you know?
Well, I think just so many things happened that were unexplainable that people would chalk it up to like a ghost or...
Yeah, they also believed a lot of really dumb bullshit back in the day though, too.
Yeah.
So... I don't know what their stances on ghosts were.
Okay.
You know what I mean, though?
I do. But anyway, so he brought it up to, like, discredit her.
Yeah, but it didn't have the effect that he wanted it to have on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story wasn't brought up again about the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
His trial lasted only 8 days, though it was entirely circumstantial evidence.
Wait, how is it circumstantial when her neck is broken and bruised?
Because she could have fallen down the stairs. I don't know.
I guess. Because they found her at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah. But exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You'd have to fucking hit your neck.
On the sixth day of the trial, though, he stood in his own defense. He took the stand.
Mm-hmm.
He rambled on all afternoon. And he did anything but add the flat denial that had been set against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Greenbrier Independent reported, quote, his testimony, manner, and so forth made an unfavorable impression on the specters. So the jury deliberated for an hour and about an hour, like 15 minutes. And they were like, he's guilty. But 10 of them were like, he needs to be hung. We need to execute this motherfucker. He'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them were like, I don't know if he should be executed or not, but he's definitely guilty. So they went with life in prison. Although the sentence of life in prison pissed off everyone in Greenbrier County.
Okay.
Like, really bad. They thought that he should hang for his crime because, mm-hmm. like, how fucking dare he?
Right.
Then on July 11th of 1897, an armed mob gathered with the intent on lynching him.
Okay.
Sheriff
Nickel. Vigilante justice.
Yeah, exactly. Sheriff Nickel got wind of the plot and he managed to hide him in the woods. So he like took him and he hid him.
Okay.
Before the mob reached the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told the mob, he's like, guys, lay down your weapons. Justice will be served. Go home. Four of them were later indicted because they were attempting lynching. And then on July 13th of 1897, he was sent to the state penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia. See, when I first read that, I thought it was going to be like, oh, he got away. Like, he ran away in the woods.
Right.
No, someone must have been with him.
Well, you said the sheriff took him.
Well, yeah, but the sheriff went back to the armed mob and, like, de-escalated the situation.
Well, maybe he fucking handcuffed him to a tree or something.
Although, did they have handcuffs in those days?
Mm-hmm.
In the 18...
Late 1800s, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess it's just the turn. It's about the turn of the century right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then he died on March 13th, 1900 of natural causes in prison. So unfortunately, he didn't serve very long.
No.
But hopefully it was not a good very long.
Let's hope.
A nearby road marker reads, like, in the town somewhere. It's a mile marker, I think. But it's near the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Interned in a nearby cemetery is Zona Heesterschuh. Her death in 1897 was presumed natural until her spirit appeared to her mother to describe how she was killed by her husband, Edward. Autopsy on the exhumed body verified the apparition's account. Edward, found guilty of murder, was sentenced to state prison. So, this has never happened since. And this has never happened before, that the first time ever a ghost solved their own murder and it was admissible-ish in court.
I like it.
Yeah.
Admissible-ish.
Admissible-ish.
Well, yeah, I like it.
That's all I got.
But I also think the fact that he rambled on made him probably look worse.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because, you know, when people are telling the truth, it's pretty quick. When people are lying, they just keep going and going.
And then I told her her hair looked great.
Right.
And we went out for her favorite scarf. You know, the one that she was buried in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went to my blacksmith shop.
Well, thank you. That was short and sweet.
It was very short and sweet.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to be, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You did. Yeah. I looked
we always say that, but then like an hour and 45 minutes later.
Well, this is about the information that there is out there that's actually somewhat verifiable.
Ish.
Well, we do know that it happened in the courts that she, you know, solved her own murder mm-hmm. because there's court records of it
mm-hmm.
and of this murder taking place. But, you know, the circumstances around it.
Right.
Or hearsay.
Hearsay. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the mom lived for, like, quite a while after the fact, so that's cool at least.
Yeah.
She, you know.
Except for she didn't have her daughter. But yeah, they had six. She
was one of
six.
Oh, there were other kids. Right. Although on the Find a Grave website, one of the kids only lived to be, like, three or four.
Oh.
So I hate that.
I hate that, too. I hate looking at Find a Grave. I mean, I use it a lot, honestly, because sometimes it'll take you to other information, but also, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, let's see. Most of them lived a good long while. Most of the sibs. But yeah, one died at 3 years old.
Oh, that's sad.
Lenny.
Sad.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Of course.
And it's a spooky season always anyway, but.
I mean, it's always spooky season.
Yeah.
Always, always, always.
Always, always, always. All right, well.
Wait, okay. If you click on.
Wait.
If you click on his Find a Grave, he has.
Who he? The husband?
Trout. Yes. A couple sources said the first wife's name, the one who he divorced,
mm-hmm.
was Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
It says on Find a Grave that her name was Allie.
Huh.
And then, yeah, Lucy.
I love the name Lucy. I just think it's so cute.
I love Lucy.
Love Lucy.
It is. That's a great name.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, thank
you. That's it. That was all she wrote.
All right.
She just told about her death and then she went to peace, hopefully.
Hopefully. But at least she was able to find justice for herself.
Yeah, no shit. That's powerful.
It is. All right.
Well, I guess you also have to be open to receiving. So it probably happened in other instances if you were open to receiving it.
I'm sure.
And her mom was like, show me.
Please tell me what happened.
Please tell me what happened to you.
Yep. All right. Well, you can find us.
Oh, you didn't want to finish it? You just meekishly stopped what you were saying?
Because I'll fuck it up and then you'll be all mean to me.
You act like I don't ever fuck up and like I'm perfect.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but okay. You can find us on the gram at That's Disturbing Podcast. You can send us a Gmail at thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. And you won't, so that's cool. But anyway, thanks for listening.
That's an option for you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.